because it's Mother's Day today, I thought, right, what can I bring? What can I preach on? And so I thought I would preach on what Jesus thought about women and how he related to them. Now, I want to apologize to all of you lovely, amazing men out there, but please don't switch off or fall asleep, because you all have women in your lives, whether it's a mother, a sister, a daughter, a niece, and I hope that you're going to be blessed too. To be honest, I've got nothing against you men, but I'm so glad that I'm a woman. Now, you know, I don't mind, I'll go through the giving birth, you know, going through the menopause when I do in about 10 years' time, and all those hot flushes, I can cope with. I can cope with that. But the main reason is that, as a general rule, men don't wear makeup. Apart from Derek, of course. And you know what? When I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror, I thank God that I am a woman and I can put some makeup on. Oh, it works absolute wonders. So, the Bible tells us that Jesus went about doing good. As our supreme example, he showed us how to relate to one another. Jesus lived in a man's world. Yet, he often went against the culture by treating women as persons equal with men. In the Jerusalem temple, women were limited to one outer portion, the women's court, which was 5 steps below the court for the men. A rabbi regarded it beneath his dignity to speak to a woman in public, not allowed. And women were kept for childbearing and rearing their children, and always this was done under strict control of a man. The gospel writers show us that Jesus countered these attitudes, and they never portrayed a negative attitude towards women. Instead, they reflect Jesus' attitudes and actions. Perhaps we think nothing of the fact that Jesus taught women the scriptures and he revealed to them the gospel. But in that culture, what he did was revolutionary. And do we forget that women, as well as men, were Jesus' disciples? And they travelled with him. It was a woman who Jesus raised from the dead. And it was largely because of women that he raised 2 other people from the dead. Then too, it was to a woman named Martha that Jesus declared himself to be the resurrection. That's in John's Gospel. Thus revealing first to a woman the central event and message of the gospel. It was a woman of ill repute who Jesus allowed to anoint him. And it was a woman, Mary, who Jesus sent first to preach his resurrection. She was, in fact, the first person to be given an apostolic commission from the resurrected Lord. You know, in a culture where the testimony of women was not considered valid, Jesus sent this woman to testify to men about the most important event in the history of humanity, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Clearly, he was making a radical statement about women. In John's Gospel, it says, when the religious leaders brought to Jesus a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, they wanted to know if he would have her stoned as law required. In the minds of the religious leaders, the women were merely property owned by a husband or a husband-to-be. He was, in fact, the one who had been violated in the sense that his property, his woman, had been misused. So, as damaged goods. She had brought disgrace on him and was no longer worthy of life. According to the law, the man involved in the offence, as well as the woman, they were to be stoned too. But again, the reason for stoning the man was not because he had violated the woman of the law, but because he had misused another man's property. But Jesus, he demonstrated an entirely different set of values in this situation. He didn't treat the woman as a man's property, but as a person of great value. He showed respect for her by speaking to her, a thing that was prohibited in that culture. And he spoke to her with tenderness and compassion, thereby carefully demonstrating the high regard that God places on women. In Matthew 9, verse 20 to 22, in the story of Jesus healing the woman with the issue of blood, we are told that she touched him. According to the law, this made him ritually unclean. But once again, Jesus disregarded religious rules and rulers to help a woman. He demonstrated that God sees even one woman as being of great value. Still in John's Gospel, it says, in Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman, he demonstrates that she is to receive honor equal to that afforded by men. Despite strong cultural prohibitions to the contrary, he responded to the woman with the same regard he would have shown to a man. Furthermore, as a Jew, he was not permitted to speak to a Samaritan. And as a man, he was not to speak publicly to a woman. Since he was a teacher, he was aware of the prohibition against teaching women theology. But Jesus spoke publicly to this Samaritan woman about theology. He consciously ignored three major cultural prohibitions in this encounter. In addition, in the process, he revealed to her that he was the Messiah. What an astounding revelation! She then proclaimed the good news to both men and women in her village, and many Samaritans believed in him because of that woman's testimony. When Jesus visited the sisters, Martha and Mary, he praised Mary for listening attentively to what he had to say. Instead of Martha, who was busy preparing food and tidying up and cleaning instead of listening to Jesus. You see, Martha had the idea that a woman's place was in the kitchen. She busied herself preparing a meal and she was getting everything ready for her very special guest. But Mary, her sister, she did what only men did. That was sit down and listen and learn about theology. No woman in her right mind would think of doing what Mary did. Luke says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his teaching. Jesus' message to Martha was, come and sit down for a minute. The most important part of your life is not in the kitchen. Are you listening to this, James? God didn't create you just to wait on tables. Scribes and Pharisees aren't the only ones with the right to know the word of God. You, Martha, and every woman like you have the same right too. So what happened at the crucifixion? The disciples fled, including Peter, who was the one that said, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I'll never turn my back on you. I will go with you even unto death. But the women remained silently standing watch at the foot of the cross. What else could they do? Absolutely nothing except be there. Even after Jesus' death, while the disciples were hiding behind barred doors, afraid the Romans would find them and put them on a cross, the women, they prepared the spices to anoint his body for a proper burial. These women took the spices to the tomb, having no idea how they would move that stone. Nevertheless, they went in the early hours of the morning, while it was still dark, to do what they could do. From the moment the Son of God emerged into our world as a tiny, helpless infant, to the final hours before his ascension into heaven, women ministered to Jesus. It's a well-known fact that the women were the last ones to leave the cross and the first ones to arrive at the tomb. When Mary Magdalene visited the tomb early on resurrection morning and found it empty, without delay, she reported to the disciples that Jesus' body was missing. They all hastened to the scene, but they did not grasp the significance of that empty tomb because they still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. That's in John 20, verse 9. So they returned home, but Mary lingered behind. It was then that Jesus appeared to her and said, "Go and tell my brothers." This appearance and commission are significant for several reasons. During the 40 days between his resurrection and ascension, Jesus appeared to his disciples at various times. And on one occasion, he appeared to 500 followers. The gospel writers, however, are explicit in noting that it was Mary Magdalene to whom he appeared first after his resurrection. The importance which the evangelists attach to this fact indicates that it was not an accidental occurrence, but that Jesus purposely appeared first to this woman. He could just as easily have appeared to a man. Instead, he honored a woman. In appearing to Mary Magdalene, Jesus was making a very important statement. It was a statement, perhaps, that the disciples could not have grasped by a mere lecture. This statement was further clarified by the words which Jesus spoke to her on this occasion. "Go and tell my brethren." Go and tell, that defines the Great Commission. Interestingly, the New Testament word apostle literally means one who is sent. Mary received the first apostolic commission from the risen Lord to proclaim the greatest fact in history, the resurrection. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So go and tell my brothers. That defines her audience, doesn't it? Jesus was sending her to men, not women. In other words, her commission was not limited to a women's ministry, as it so often is the restricted place on women today. Not in our church, though. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus was a friend of women. He vigorously promoted the dignity and equality of women in terms of both value and function. 24 times in Luke's gospel, Jesus either met a woman, talked about a woman, or mentioned a woman in a parable. All of these 24 times are instructive and positive. The words accepting, sensitive, and affirming, they sum up what Luke and the example of Jesus Christ teaches about Jesus and women. No rabbi of Jesus' day included women among his disciples, but Luke said that Jesus included women in his circle of followers, even women from questionable backgrounds. Jesus let women know they were intelligent and worthy of God's love and concern. Not one time in all the four Gospels did he put down a woman. From the earliest days of his life to the time that he ascended into heaven, Jesus exalted and affirmed women. in Luke 21, Jesus and the disciples were in the temple. The disciples were watching the rich people drop their bags of gold in the treasury. Suddenly Jesus said, "Did you see that?" They asked, "What? Was there someone with a really big bag that we've missed?" And Jesus said, "No. Did you see that little old lady?" The disciples answered, "Yes, we saw her. She only dropped 2 coins into the offering." Jesus said, "You don't understand. You really don't get it, do you? The others have given out of their abundance, but she gave everything she has." An unnamed widow became an example of the generosity that God expects from all of us. In contrast to the attitudes of our day, Jesus is never exploitative of women. He's the one man who dared to talk openly with the woman at the well in John 4. He breached every standard of his culture by doing this. And yet the woman, even while she was exposed for everything that she was, a woman with multiple marriages and a sordid life, was never threatened. Jesus never humiliated her. He simply lifted her out of her filth and gently clothed her in the righteousness of her heavenly Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Jesus never intimidated or sexually threatened a woman, and he was never threatened or intimidated by a woman. There was no lewd look, no coarse jesting with Jesus. He didn't have to prove anything because he's 100% man. That's why both men and women are equally attracted to Jesus. Jesus lifted and affirmed every woman who came to him. Women find in him the man they wish every man could be. And men see in him the man they know they ought to be. Jesus, on the other hand, treated his mother and all women with the deepest respect. We honor all women by showing them the same love and respect that Jesus showed to women. Jesus is the perfect man, the man God wants every man to emulate. This is the kind of man God wants every woman to know in her life. So, you men, you've got a lot to live up to. But as the saying goes, we are a work in progress. And I think that many of you men are well and truly on your way. And I know that many women feel that they are nothing. But as Christians, how could we possibly feel like that when there is so much evidence in the Gospels of how Jesus valued and respected women? I pray that every woman here today will go feeling 10 foot tall, and that we are no shrinking violets, which is what I used to be. You know, I did, honestly. I can remember my first job. You know, after leaving college, I was so nervous, and I had a boss from hell. Miss Trunchbull from Matilda, she was a pussycat compared to my boss. No one was allowed to speak. You just didn't talk in the office, and that was really difficult for me. And she used to threaten me with the sack every single day, which apparently was her way of keeping new starters on their toes. So it affected me so badly, I went down to 6.5 stone in weight because I just couldn't face food. And that's how she got me. But then I became a Christian. And that, because I'm a Christian, I have got a confidence and a belief in myself because I know that Jesus believes in me. And, you know, I used to want to fade into the background and not be noticed. And as you can see from my subdued dress sense, things haven't changed, have they? You know, Craig was rather rude this morning. I'm sorry, I've got to uncover you, Craig. But when he got out the car and saw me, he says, "Oh, I should have bought me sunglasses." Not very kind, is it? Is it, Craig? But I do still love you. Okay. But you know what? We can all make a difference in this world. And my motto is, it's good to laugh. Have fun. Be happy. Be that half glass full person and not the half empty. Because you know what? Miserable people don't attract anyone. Mind you, there are serious consequences with being happy and smiling a lot. And I'm not sure if I've told you this little story before, but I was very close to a little girl, she's grown up now, called Truly. And she did adore me. She loved me, bless her. And she was going around Tesco's one day with her mum, and she kept pulling a face like this. She kept going like this. And her mum said, "What on earth are you doing, Truly?" And she says, "I want to get those sprinkles like Auntie Beverly's got." You know, it was very cute, but devastating for me. But what I choose to call them laughter lines. So, I'm asking you all to believe in yourself because Jesus does. And if you feel you can't or haven't achieved anything, then it's not too late. Whether you are 7 or 77, the most important thing that you can do is to tell people about Jesus. You don't have to have a degree in theology or know your Bible from back to front. I mean, it is helpful, I must admit. But all you need to do is have the desire in your heart to bring people to know Jesus. You know, Jackie prayed about revival at our morning prayer meeting. And she really felt that it was coming soon. And I just got such an excitement and a quickening in my spirit. And like Vicky's already said, Barry Woodward is coming in April. And what I want to do, I want to urge you, if nothing else, please, please invite someone. You know, don't be complacent and think that, oh, somebody else will do that. Let us not be in here and it's just us and no guests, nobody else. We've had that done before, you know. We've had Barry come and there's hardly anybody there for him to preach to. And you know what? Barry has a powerful, life-changing story to tell. And it's our responsibility to bring the people to him. He will do the rest. So, you know, look at what Ian and Sarah have done. They've uprooted. They took all their family to Cambodia. You know, what I'm asking you, just to invite a friend, a colleague, a neighbour. It's not too difficult, is it? So, we're having no pity parties or feeling sorry for yourselves, because with Jesus, you can achieve anything. Go out there, make a difference, and do it with a great big smile. Even if it does show up your wrinkles, your laughter lines. Okay. So, I pray that this message will touch our hearts and that we will believe in ourselves as Jesus does and inspire us to go out there and tell everyone we meet about Jesus, and that we will be a church that is prepared for revival. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Put me in the back in there.
Praise the Lord. Give her a bigger round of applause than that. Amen. You know what? That was one of the best messages I ever heard on women. And I've been around a bit. I know I've got some wrinkles myself, but that was one of the best messages I've heard on women, and really puts a fantastic perspective on the role of women from Jesus' point of view. What we often get is the cultural perspective of Paul and the rest of the New Testament, but actually what Beverly brought this morning, I think, I haven't heard a lot of that before. It's quite unique. It's excellent. Yeah. And I want Beverly to know that